In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This last Wednesday, about 50 or so people gathered at our church for a presentation on our city's history and future through its buildings. Architects Gary Anderson and Ashley Sarver took us through changes in the downtown, many of which have taken place in the last two decades. They showed before pictures of boarded up buildings, storefronts hidden by tacky signs, and unfortunate paint jobs. Some buildings were so bad, they looked like they were destined for demolition. Had I seen these pictures out of context, I wouldn't have thought these were places I want to find myself in. But in actuality, I was looking at places that I love, places where I eat, shop, hang out, and admire as I pass by almost every day. In fact, the very home I live in and had wanted to live in ever since we moved to Rockford was featured among the properties. After showing us the before pictures, Gary and Ashley walked us through the process of how boards and coverings were stripped away to reveal beautiful Civil War era facades, vintage windows, and hidden courtyards. As the original beauty of these structures was brought out, special attention was also given to placemaking, or the kind of touches that give a place character and draw people to them. Given the success of renovations like these, they shared that a number of developers are now interested in Rockford. Projected visuals of projects that are in the works, such as the Ziok Amrock Building Hotel and other sites with similar potential, revealed that we still have so much to look forward to. Or in Gary's words, we ain't seen nothing yet. Getting to see all these drastic visual changes and thinking about them in light of Transfiguration Sunday, it occurred to me that our city is in the middle of a transfiguration. The word literally means to change figure or form in a way that elevates. And on this day, we recall the way that Jesus was transfigured in dazzling white as a sign that he was God's son. When we think about transfigurations or dramatic changes, what comes to mind often is the moment of change, the shining revelation, or the before and after photo. That's the part that we, like Peter, might want to memorialize or point to and say, look at this great thing that's happened. And yet, for any transfiguration to happen, whether to a building, a person, or community, someone first has to see the potential. Every transfiguration is preceded by someone seeing the unextraordinary, seedy, crumbling, or abandoned, and imagining the radiant potential. Having the faith that bridges what is to what could be. The Bible happens to be full of such stories, one of which we get a snippet of in our Old Testament reading from 2 Kings. Here, a man named Elisha is undergoing a change as his mentor, Elijah, is taken to heaven, putting Elisha in line to become Israel's next great prophet. What we don't get from our passage, though, is how unlikely a candidate Elisha is for this role. He wasn't picked for his piety or as someone adept in prophecy. Elisha was out plowing a field when Elijah called to him. Elijah looked at a man sweating, steering, swearing perhaps, and saw a prophet. While also not in our reading, once Elijah is taken to heaven, Elisha comes to that water that he and Elijah crossed over. Elisha strikes it with Elijah's cloak, just as his mentor did, causing the water to part, the sign that the transformation had happened. Elisha's story calls to mind the way Jesus recruited his disciples, and Jesus was known for seeing potential, whether that of his disciples or the people to whom he ministered. But for Jesus' own transfiguration to take place, he had to have the same capacity for seeing the potential in himself. Though he was inspiring, smart, gracious, and without sin, still, in his full humanity, he probably had to go through the same process of self-discovery that we all go through. To become who he was as the Messiah and to fully realize his divinity, he had to believe what God had said and believe in himself, that he was more than just a teacher from Nazareth, that his life and death were meant for something greater, that he was God's son, and that all the things revealed to him in the transfiguration were a glimpse of what was to come. Because going back down the mountain, he wouldn't be able to rely on the affirmation of his followers or the praise of the crowds, but had to have the imagination and conviction to see beyond the passion to resurrection. Jesus is our example and model, even when it comes to his miraculous change. He is the vision of what our lives can be, which means that we are meant for transfigurations as well. Our lives are meant to be transfigured. Our world is meant to be transfigured, transformed in God's light and love into something breathtaking. But what precedes all transfigurations is imagining them before they happen. Like with those buildings, or a man plowing a field, or a teacher from Nazareth. And really, the vision that precedes transfigurations is what faith is all about. The church has tended to make faith about believing or intellectually assenting to things that happened long ago. But faith is as much, if not more, about proactive belief in the present that transforms the future. It is in a form of collaborative imagining with God that transfigures the people we are and the world we step into. In Hebrews, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." What better way to describe the visioning that precedes transfiguration? Having this kind of transformative faith means having a spirit of abundance in our visions and charity in how we view ourselves, others, and the world around. Looking not at what we lack, but at all that we bring, all of our assets. Some of the best and most creative work in the world comes not from the people who have all of the resources at their disposal, but people who view their resources as more than what they are. Practicing transformative faith also means not being bound by the past. For example, if the people in Rockford were resigned to the blighted buildings, we wouldn't be experiencing the urban resurgence that we are today. And it works very similarly for people. When we say or act as if people will never change, or that we will never change, then we will be well on our way to cementing that stasis. Transformative faith also means being on the lookout. proactively looking for the hidden potential and how we can take ownership in helping the vision materialize. And finally, transformative faith is nurtured by its source, which is that God first saw the potential in all of us, which is why God created us, continually calls out to us to be who we are meant to be, and never gives up on us. What transfigurations need our potential seeing today? Maybe like our architects, it's a space we're called to invest ourselves in and place make, a part of our home, workplace, or the neighborhood we live in. Maybe it's in how we view our students, people we work with, or clients we serve, or how we view friends and family and relationships we're in. Or maybe it's a transformation we need to believe for ourselves. On this last Sunday in Epiphany, the mountain of Transfiguration gives us an especially good vantage point to let ourselves look out at what is and imagine what might be. Amen.